It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're going to move a little different today from our past studies that we've been having, and I hope that you enjoy it because this is Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday morning, and I hope that you enjoy the study today. We're going to be in John chapter 19, and we're going to read the last half of the 30th verse. We're going to be in many verses of Scripture today, but I would like for you to join me in reading John chapter 19, the last half of verse 30. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles, that we can begin the reading today in John chapter 19. John chapter 19, and the last half of that verse tells us, "He said, 'It is finished,' and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank and praise you for the day that you've given us. I thank you for your precious word. Please that you will show us ever so clearly the tomb and the resurrection today. Please. And it should be something that should be so evident to us every day, not just today. Today shouldn't be a special day because the same risen Christ, your Son, the Lord Jesus, was raised from the dead to give us life. He faced the cross to give us life, and we should celebrate that every day that we're alive. Please, and then from eternity, we're going to celebrate that. So please, dear Father, now guide and lead us and study your word today as we look into it. Show us the truth. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to share with you the verses of Scripture. I don't know if you're traveling or if you're going to have an opportunity to follow along, and I hope that you do. But I'm going to give you the verses of Scripture that we're going to be in today. We're going to be, once again, back here in John 19, verse 30. We're going to go over to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 22. We're going to be in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 15 through 18. We're going to return to a little further in the Gospel of John 19, verses 38 through 42. We'll be speaking of the Gospel of John, chapter 3. We're going to be in Luke 23, verse 55, Matthew 27, 60, Matthew 27, 62, Matthew 27, 63 through 66, Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 4, Luke chapter 24, 2 through 8, John chapter 20, verses 2 through 10, and John 20, 11 through 17. As we look at all of those verses of Scripture, and I hope that we have time today to do that, we again are going to look at the, not so much the crucifixion, because that is finished right where we've started here in John chapter 19, verse 30. He died on the cross of Calvary for us, and so we must start at the cross. Because, you see, that's where life begins for you and me, is at the cross of Calvary. Here he tells us it is finished, and he bows his head and gave up the ghost. This is a beautiful place, a wonderful place for you and me. But it was an awful place for the Lord Jesus Christ as he faced the beatings and the crucifixion. And please, I hope that you do not see a picture that has just a little trickle of blood, because we know that the Lord Jesus Christ was so beaten and the thorn crown of thorns that was put upon his head, was nailed down upon his head, was pounded upon his head. And we know that the Lord Jesus was covered with blood, and you didn't even know if it was man or beast as he hung upon the cross to die. And so he did that for you and me. It was the most awful day for our God. But he did it for you and me because he loves us. And I hope that you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because when he died and he said those words, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, when he did that, it was finished. Now, many believe that when Jesus died, that was the end of paying for our debt and the end of salvation, and eternal life was ours. But in a couple of minutes, we're going to look for 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to find that we must have the resurrection. We need the Word of God. We need the truth from cover to cover. We cannot just pick out the parts that we want and make it sound and do what we want it to do. Jesus willingly went to the cross. Jesus willingly died. Jesus willingly laid down his life. This all happened at Golgotha, at the place of the skull, the scripture says, Calvary. When he said it's finished, some say again that's the end of the work of redemption. But as we look at the scripture, and I'm going to try to take my time because I want you to turn to these places, and I am going to be turning there, so hopefully you will have time to do the same. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to look at the 12th verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to read from verse 12 through verse 22. So please follow along with me. And if you don't have the opportunity to follow along, please listen carefully. "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he has risen up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead raise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." We need to look at those verses of Scripture very quickly and yet very carefully. Yes, Jesus said it's finished. And yes, he gave up the ghost on this cross at Calvary, the place of the skull, Golgotha. Jesus said it's finished. And what that word means, it's complete, it's perfect to that place. Because you see, he had to pay for our sin. The wages of sin is death. Jesus paid that debt, and that part was finished. But until he came out of the grave alive and was raised from the dead, was it completely finished. Look what we just read here in the 17th verse of 1 Corinthians 15, 17. "If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins." So you see, the complete gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, yes, covers the cross of Calvary and his death and his precious shedding of his precious blood, because that was without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So you see, it takes the cross. It took him dying upon the cross of Calvary, and it also has to be that he raised from the dead to finish this work. What a wonderful opportunity. Jesus was willing to die for me. He was willing to die for you. Jesus surrendered his life that we can live. Let's look at the words of the Lord Jesus back in John chapter 10. And again, I hope that you can follow along with me today. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verses 15 through 18. John chapter 10, beginning to read with verse 15, and listen very carefully. As a father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. A couple of things I want you to see there. Number one, he speaks of, in the very beginning, I know my Father, as the Father knoweth me, so even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. You know, he was speaking of this fold being Israel. The other sheep are us. Oh, wonderful that the Lord Jesus Christ died for not only the chosen of the nation of Israel, but also his people, but also for all the world he died, that we can live. And he laid down his life. No man took it. You can say the Romans crucified him. You can say the Jews condemned him and had him crucified. But the truth is known. We are the ones that nailed him to the cross, because we're the sinners. So were the Romans, so were the Jews, but so are we. We are the reason Jesus was nailed to that cross. But Jesus was not forced to that cross. He came willingly. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he died upon the cross, that's where he gave his life, sacrificed his life willingly. So please, please come to the cross of Calvary. You must be saved today. That'll be the very greatest day that you have ever lived, is the day that you meet Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You could have been in church all your life and been very religious all of your days, and yet still not know Jesus as your Savior. So please, when he said it's finished upon the cross of Calvary, and his blood was shed, we're part of the way through his redemptive work, because we must come to the cross. He willingly gave his life for you and for me. We next go to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And we're going to read the 38th verse. John 19, verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of the Jews, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave, and he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And so as we look at the time, Jesus said, it's finished. And it's not long that they came by and they broke the legs of both of the others that were crucified with him. But they didn't do it for the Lord Jesus, because he was already dead. You see, man didn't take his life. He gave his life for you and me. please come to the Lord Jesus today. Please come. And we find here in the 39th verse that there was not only Joseph of Arimathea in the 38th verse, but in 39 we find a man named Nicodemus. Now here is a man that is a perfect picture of a religious man. Joseph of Arimathea, too, was very religious. But we know more about Nicodemus, and as we look at Nicodemus, we find that he was a great man. He was a teacher himself. What he knew of the Word of God, and yet he did not know Jesus as his Savior. John chapter 3 tells us that. Nicodemus came by night. He called the Lord Jesus himself a teacher. He knew he was a good teacher, a good man. But he didn't recognize him as God. And until, my friend, you turn your eyes upon the Lord Jesus and accept the fact that you're a sinner and you're lost and ask Jesus to save you, only then are you free from the burden of your sin. You can have been to church every day. You could be so religious. I don't care what church you go to. I don't care if you've attended this church since the day that it was opened. If you have not personally come to Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are not saved. Personal. And you will know that time. You'll know that place where you met Jesus. And that will be instilled in your mind and you will never forget it. Please, if you can't remember, you just says, well, I've always believed. You may have always known about Jesus. But until you ask Him to forgive you of your sins and bring Him into your heart as your personal Savior, is it put to your account. So please today trust in Jesus. Nicodemus was one of them men. And we're finding here that Nicodemus did come and did trust in Jesus as his Savior. And Jesus told him, you must be born again. And I'm telling you the same thing today. You must be born again. And the Scripture also tells us today is the day of salvation. So please don't put it off. Don't wonder. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea were two that come and ask for the body of the Lord Jesus, both somewhat secret disciples. And yet we find them here at the death of Jesus Christ at the cross. They found a strength and a boldness that they doesn't appear that they had before. And they went to Pilate and asked for the body of the Lord Jesus. And they took the body of the Lord Jesus down, and they mixed, as it says here in verse 39 through 42, and there came also Nicodemus, which the first came to Jesus by night. We've just talked about that. Brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. And then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloth, with the spices, as the manner of the Jews, is to bury. Now the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man laid, yet laid. There laid they Jesus. Therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. And so you see, we find that they have come, they have taken the body of the Lord Jesus down, and they have laid the Lord Jesus in the grave. Now we're going to look at a couple of verses of Scripture here, because we have a couple of things that are taking place. The first we're going to find back in Luke, and so please look to Luke 23. Now we're going to look at the verse 55. Luke 23, verse 55, and the woman also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and behold the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. So you see, there was witnesses, not only just Nicodemus and Joseph, but there were also these women that had come, that had followed the Lord Jesus very, very closely, and they watched exactly what was done and how the body was laid in the sepulcher. And then if you'll go with me to Matthew, we have a couple of things here I would like for you to see. Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verse 60. And laid it in the grave, in his own tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. This is Joseph. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And so once again, we're speaking of Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, as they have taken the body down and prepared the body, and now they have laid it in the grave. And we find that the stone was rolled away, and we find that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary was there. Now, we're going to begin with Matthew 27:62, because there is more that takes place before the resurrection. And now the next day, and that's Matthew 27:62. Now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. And so, command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure unto the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Now, I want you to see that they have, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, have taken the body down by permission of Pilate. They have come, they have laid the body of our Savior that has died upon the cross of Calvary. In this tomb, the stone, we have read, is rolled into place. And we find the next day is the seal put upon it and a watch is placed, because they fear that someone's going to steal the body away. Now, why are they so afraid that they're going to steal the body away? Because, you see, they listened to the words of Jesus. And it's kind of sad, because we find that the disciples, even when the Lord Jesus speaks to them, and also when Jesus speaks to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, that they don't believe. They have forgotten what has taken place. And that is so sad, that they have forgotten what has taken place. They have forgotten what Jesus had said. He said, in 3 days I'll rise again. But the enemy remembered. The enemy remembered those words, and they did everything they could to keep Jesus in that grave. But you see, no man could ever keep him in that grave. Matthew chapter 28, the first day of the week. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. These angels sure did surprise these men. And the rolling of this stone away, they just literally fell over as dead men. And you see, the stone was not rolled away for Jesus to get out. The stone was rolled away to show that Jesus had risen from the dead. We have the witnesses of him being placed in the tomb, and now we have witnesses that he is gone. He's alive. And what a day, what a glorious day this is, to have Jesus Christ alive. But we're going to look now at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And as we look at this report, you're going to find a couple of things that kind of one covers over the other just a little bit. But please enjoy it and recognize the Savior is alive. Luke 24, verses 2 now through verse 8. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garment. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. They remembered his words. They remembered his words. It is wonderful that finally they remembered the words. Now let's look to John. John chapter 20. And we're going to look at 2 through 10. John chapter 20. And she runneth, this is Mary and Mary that we're speaking of here, both times. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, being John, and saith to them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we remember, and we know not where they have laid him. And then Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooped down and looking in, saw the linen cloth lying, yet went not in. And then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen cloth lying and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. And then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. What a wonderful day to see and to believe. And as yet they knew not the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. And then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Remember the enemy? The enemy remembered. The believers didn't. That's sad. We need to listen to the Word of God. We need to listen ever so carefully because Jesus is alive. We need to listen to God's Word, not to what man reports, not to how man turns it around. I beg you that you listen to the Word of God, and it will bring you joy. It will bring you great joy. It's so important that we see the Lord Jesus Christ. We find here that Mary, in the 11th verse, stood without the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, and one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus laid. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord. Remember, the one says, Why seek ye the living among the dead? And he says, I don't know where they've taken him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing it to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him. And Jesus says, Mary. And she turned, and she knew it was Jesus. She turned and says, Rabboni, which means Master. Oh, what a beautiful day that was for Mary. It can be the same beautiful day for you, but you don't have to wait 3 days, because you see, Jesus Christ went to the grave, died for your sin, and is raised from that death, from that grave, and is alive, seated at the right hand of God the Father right now. My dear friend, it's so important that you trust in Jesus, and you can have that same experience that Mary had when she turned in the garden and found it to be Jesus. please ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart today, to take your sins away. Please, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?